Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, April 24th, 2015, and I thought the best way to celebrate Apple Watch Delivery Day was by putting together a panel comprised completely of people that aren't going to actually have one today. So I'm here, and Kelly Gaumont is here. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff. Happy Watchmas.
Happy Watchmas. And Brian Chaffin, how are you doing?
I am currently embodying four of the seven dwarves. I've got sleepy, cranky, angry, and vindictive. Right? Those are...
Yes.
I thought the last one was dwarves. Jimmy.
Yeah, it could be. Anyway, I don't have an Apple Watch.
And neither do I. But we will. At least that's what my order says. But my order says it won't be till May 13th.
Yeah, I'm still there too.
Yeah.
Still processing. Hasn't changed. How about you, Kelly?
2.0. I'm holding out for 2.0.
Oh.
So yours won't be here today or May 13th?
No. Not even, you know, June.
That's not a bad... especially for people who don't write about Apple. Mm-hmm. Waiting for Apple Watch 2 is not at all a bad idea, especially if you're buying on the budget.
Well, and I just got a new computer. So I have a brand new laptop with the glorious Force Touch trackpad, and it's Retina, and I didn't have a Retina display before. So it's beautiful, and I've got a trackpad I can use even at the tippy-tippy top. And I'm in line for the new phone this year because Mr. Kelly got one last year. So I get a new phone and a new laptop this year. I'm really not going to complain.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I totally get that. Yep. Hey, we have a sponsor this week. Yes, and our sponsor is Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec. And I'm so glad that they've been sponsoring us all week because it's a really, really great application for your Mac that supercharges the Finder. So instead of being, well, you know how you use the Finder and you think, yeah, everything's fine and it's easy to do stuff. When you use Pathfinder, then you realize, oh, no, I've had this very hobbled experience working with my files. And Pathfinder 7 fixes that. So it has really great file organization. It has the ability to look at multiple folders and compare the contents without you needing to know command-line commands. I guess it's kind of redundant, command-line commands.
Mm-hmm. No, it works.
Yeah, it works. All right. Anyhow, so you don't need to know command line commands. But if you want to do command line stuff, that's okay. You can just add a little terminal panel right to your Pathfinder window and have that available right along with all the documents and folders that you have.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. With a tap of a button, you can make all your invisible files visible. Which is great because there are times, yeah, when you really need to see your invisible files. It's also smart enough that if you're connecting to servers where you shouldn't have the invisible files that OS X typically hides in directories, don't have to worry about it. Pathfinder 7 is smart enough to not put those invisible files there.
Nice.
Yeah, which is really great. So anyhow, I have found it to be an incredibly useful utility on my Mac, and I'm wishing I'd started using it much earlier. But hey, you know, I'll make up for lost time now. So you can do the same. Go to their website, cocotec.com/Pathfinder, and download the demo version. It's good for a couple weeks, so you can try it out. And use the discount code TDO to get yourself 25% off. It's regularly $39.95. With that TDO code, it drops it down to $29.95. So you can save yourself a few bucks, and which is always great. And have Pathfinder 7 running on your computer and just get more productive with the files and folders that you already have. So thank you, Cocotec and Pathfinder 7, for being our sponsor this week. And that link again, cocotec.com/Pathfinder, and use the discount code TDO and get yourself Pathfinder 7 for 25% off.
Excellent.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Okay. Anyhow, I just kind of jumped right into that because, well, I was pretty excited. But
it's exciting.
It is exciting. But there's other things that I wanted to talk about, like Apple Watch. And the fact that iFixit has already gotten a hold of one and torn it apart. So here we have people champing at the bit to get Apple Watch delivered today.
Mm-hmm.
And the iFixit people have already stripped one down to its bare components.
Well, that's what they do.
That's what they do. And I'm glad they do it so that so that we don't have to sacrifice yours, Brian.
Yeah, exactly. So what did we learn from them?
Well, what we learned is that Apple apparently has access to Time Lord technology because they seem to be packing more inside their devices than there's physical space for. So they're bigger on the inside. What we learned today is that if your display or your battery needs to be replaced, even though it's not something you're going to be able to quickly do yourself, it is a fairly easy process for people that know how to do this sort of thing. So the display basically just pries off and then can disconnect from the rest of the system and a new one can be put on. And the battery has just a small amount of adhesive holding it in place. So if the battery in your Apple Watch has to be replaced at some point, it's not going to be a major ordeal.
Hmm.
What we also found out is that the rumors and hopes that people had that Apple would design Apple Watch so that when the next model came out, they could just pop it open, pull the guts out, put new guts in, and send you on your way with a brand new watch. No.
Never going to do it, never going to do it, never going to do it, never going to do it. That was never going to happen. Never going to happen. I just, every time I saw that, it just would drive me nuts.
Man.
And with that, my day's made.
That was just the best ever.
You know, I wish I had as good a voice as the ladies do, but you know, it just it was just that was so, what Apple doesn't do that. This not Apple doesn't do that.
If they
were going to do it this time, they would have talked about it. They would have said, "Buy our $10,000 Apple Watch, and then we're going to be able to upgrade it for it." It's just I hate it. That one drove me nuts. Didn't like it.
I mean, it was one of those things that was fun to bring up in speculation early on, but not one of those things that we ever looked at and said, oh, yeah, this is a real possibility.
Because no. John did. Where's John? Is he here?
John wished it so.
Okay. So when I said we, John's not here, so he's not in the we.
You meant thinking people?
Oh, no.
Well, if you think
it's the most thinking people on the planet.
John is wonderful and I do adore him, but this was one of those times when I just wondered where he was getting information because it didn't seem like he was getting it from the same world I was living in, and I was very confused by that. Because while it's possible in watches, analog, you know, old school varieties of time pieces, it's not a thing that Apple has ever done. And I don't know that I've ever seen any sort of electronic watch that had this option. Like, my dad had one of those calculator watches a long time ago and had the little thing that lived in the buckle that you pulled out to poke at the buttons because the buttons were teeny weeny weeny weeny. And, like, he couldn't take that in and get the insides replaced with one that calculated faster or whatever. Like, I've never seen a watch that was electronic in any way that had this opportunity. So I'm not a super watch nerd from way back or anything like that. So if it existed and I missed it, you know, that's entirely a possibility. But I've never seen a digital watch in any fashion that was like this. So I was very surprised to hear people like John treat it like fact, like as a thing. Wouldn't it be neat is one thing. So
now we know it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Now we know it's not going to happen. Right. So, and the reason we know it's not going to happen is because once they got past the display coming out and getting the battery out, the rest of the components that make up the core of the watch are basically wrapped in resin. So it's a resin block with stuff inside.
That's the sort of thing you need to do to make something as small as it can be. This is why we can't change our own batteries in our iPhones. It's because that is necessary if you want to be as small as the iPhone and have as much in it as you do.
Yeah. You have to coat it in resin?
No, that wasn't necessary for the iPhone, but I can see it being very necessary for the Apple Watch, especially in order to
To make it smaller?
To protect it. Yeah, absolutely, to make it smaller.
Oh, okay. I guess I don't get how coating it in resin makes it smaller. I figured the coating in resin was to make it water resistant.
This is an example of things.
What the resin does is it holds everything in place.
Okay.
And so you have all these very tiny components, and they have to be stacked and layered together. And you have ribbon cables and just all these components, and they have to stay very tightly packed, and they just simply can't move at all. So you put them together, and then you slather the resin on, and it keeps everything just locked in place.
Okay.
Yeah. So the diagnostic port is there. Just as it is on the demo models and in the Apple stores, although the iFixit people could not figure out, even as they tore everything apart, exactly how Apple is going to be able to access this thing, because they could not figure out how you would get the panel open that you need to open from the outside.
Interesting.
Yeah, they were at a loss. So maybe it's there. But actually, I don't know. I don't even have a good speculation for why it would be there if you can't actually access it. And the big surprise for me, which I'm just like really fascinated to see how this plays out, the heart rate sensor is more than just a heart rate sensor.
Yeah.
The type of sensor that Apple chose to use actually works as a pulse oximeter as well, which means that it can get your blood oxygen level and report that back, but it doesn't. So reasoning behind why they chose to use a chip that does that, but they're not using the feature, well, the easy speculation is that it's related to FDA approval. So if that's the reason, then Apple could conceivably get approval at some point, and then through a software update, give us blood oxygen level sensing on our Apple Watch. I mean, the other option is that for the limitations that Apple had to actually do what they want with the watch and get all the pieces to fit in, this was the only sensor that actually was reliable enough at the size, and you know, and so they're like, yeah, we'll use it, but we just won't have the pulse oximeter part doing it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there a point where we had heard that was going to be in the watch, and then it went away?
Sure, yeah, that's one of the features that was talked about early on. Now, it wasn't something that we were told is happening. It was one of the speculations.
Yeah, I remember there being speculation about how it was going to something, and maybe this is a different feature, but it was something about how, you know, it was meant to do this, and it turns out it's actually not going to be the case. And for some reason, I thought that the pulse ox stuff was that feature.
That was one of the features that was tossed around with that discussion. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I hope that we do get a software update at some point that gives us that feature, because I'm thinking that would be really interesting to have when you're working out, when you're out on a hike, when you're running. I would love to see what's happening to my blood oxygen levels when I'm hiking at higher altitudes.
Sure.
I know what my body does, but it would be interesting to see what's happening in my blood chemistry. I think that would be really cool.
Right.
Yeah. So anyhow, what we learned is that no, you're not going to be able to do an upgrade of the guts for a future model, and we learned that we have a sensor that can do more than it does right now, and that the battery and the display are easier to replace than not, I guess. Yeah. So there you go.
It did get a 5 of 10 repairability score.
Right, and that was for the display, the battery, and the fact that watch bands can be swapped out so easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for the record, not the worst score Apple's ever gotten from iFixit for a product.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they've gotten far worse. Yeah. So there you go. And I'm really curious to see if people end up cracking or breaking their displays, if Apple is doing in-store replacement for the display, or if they're going to swap out watches.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it looked like the iFixit people were able to pop that apart pretty easily. Don't try it at home, kids. It'll
be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. So hey, thanks iFixit for taking one for the team and getting an Apple Watch so that we didn't have to do that to Brian's. Yeah. Hey, and as long as we're talking about Apple Watch, Kelly, you wrote up a piece yesterday about this really great graphic showing how to navigate Apple Watch. And I thought that was really cool. And it actually played in with my feeling after I got to play with one, which is that navigating Apple Watch isn't as difficult as some of the early reviewers made it out to be.
Well, yeah. They didn't have this chart.
Oh, that too. True. They didn't have the chart. Yeah.
So one of the things that I thought was interesting about this, so there was a guy who put this up on Reddit, and it was this sort of layout of how the interaction works. So when you go through like a regular navigation, I want to customize my watch face, or I want to change the settings in an application. How do I get to an application? All of those things were sort of laid out clearly. And I think probably the reason that people were having trouble was because, unlike the iPhone, because the iPhone has two buttons. So, and right now those two buttons do a variety of things. And there's two buttons on the watch, but one of them is the digital crown because you can press it or you can turn it. So it does a couple of things, and you can press the side button, they call it, once or twice, which gives you different stuff. So I think that's why people may have been having difficulty with it, is just because it's new, and maybe we're confusing which thing to push for which thing. So the sort of default stance, I guess the lock screen of the watch, is the watch app. So you pick up your arm and the screen lights up to the watch face, whatever watch face you pick. You can swipe from left to right and pull up the customization for the watch face. So when you see like in the ad, there's the little panels of information. You can have the moon or your meetings or whatever as little bits of information around the time. That's where you set that up. And you swipe out from the watch app. You swipe up and down in the watch app to get your notification center and glances. And glances is the thing when everybody says that they have a compatibility update for the Apple Watch, because we're probably also going to have an Appalanche for the next few days. Appalanche is what happens. This is a word I made up that is what happens when Apple releases something new and now everything that's on your device needs updates. So if you're somebody like me who doesn't have automatic updates turned on, then out of nowhere, the badge just skyrockets in number. Appalanche, tell your friends. So when people say that they have an Apple Watch compatibility, probably what they're meaning is that they have a glance. So from the watch app itself, you swipe up from the bottom and you get all your different glances, and it looks like you can swipe between them. So you swipe from the watch app to the apps screen. And then from the app screen, you get to an individual app. And from the individual app, you can use the force touch feature to get to the settings or the menus, or if there's any sort of feedback option like a notification or something, that's where you configure all of that. The interesting thing to me was the three things that were chosen as what the graphic calls universal apps. And they are Apple Pay. So you double click the side button and bam, you get Apple Pay. Favorite contacts is a single click on the side button. And if you press and hold the digital crown, it gives you Siri. So those are the three things that no matter what app you're in or whatever it is that you're doing, those are the three things that you can get to from any place. And the thing I thought was interesting about the apps was that to switch, you basically get to switch between two apps. If you double click the digital crown, it'll switch between the two most recently opened apps. It doesn't give you the list of everything that you've launched lately, whether it's still running in the background or not. the way you get on iOS. So whatever was the thing you were in a second ago and the thing you're in now, those are the two you get to switch between. So when you look at this layout, it looks pretty straightforward, and it doesn't look complicated to me because when you look at it, like, there's a lot of words on the screen, but when you really look at it, it's just describing how you get from place to place.
Well,
so,
Brian, you pointed out that it basically breaks down into four categories.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And they are?
You've got you start your watch face, mm-hmm. and you go left for changing the watch face, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because I lost the graphic, I'm stuttering there. And you go right to get to the app screen, and you go right to get to another app. Is that right?
Yep.
And then you can force touch to get to options. Uh-huh. And if you're back at the watch screen, you go up for notification center. You go down for glasses. You've got the three universal apps that Kelly just mentioned. And then you've got dealing with notifications, dealing with app switching.
Mm-hmm.
And when you break it down like that, and the image that we have in the piece was put together by Redditor Macamacamac, which is just like the best name ever.
That is
it
awesome.
Mac, just Mac, makes Mac, it all Mac, make Mac, sense. Mac. It's actually quite simple.
Yeah, which is great.
And the thing that I like about it is that it lays everything out. So you get a very clear idea of, like, you know, even if you want to use it as a map, like to sit down with your watch, like, you look at it and you go, oh, well, I'm in an app. How do I get back to the watch? Like, you can see how you swipe back and swipe back. And so it's a really nice way for somebody who maybe hasn't seen it or particularly if you tried one on and all you got was the demo loop, that's sort of not very satisfying because it doesn't actually let you interact with the watch itself. So this is a good way to sort of figure out kind of how things work with this new thing that you're getting from Apple. Because, like, by now iOS is at least a little bit familiar, you know, when you look at it at this level. And macOS is sort of familiar to most people. So having some new device to interact with, it's really nice to have a layout like this to show you how to do it.
Yeah, I think it's great. So thank you for writing that up. And, hey, we are out of time yet again. So, Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Of course.
Brian, thank you so much for being here as well.
Indeed.
And Cocotec, thank you for being our sponsor this week with Pathfinder 7. And head over to their website, excuse me, which is cocotec.com/Pathfinder, and use the discount code TDO to get yourself 25% off Pathfinder 7. And right after you do that, then head on over to the iTunes store and rate the show for us, because we love it when you give us ratings. Hey, we will see everyone again next week.